In this encyclical, he's developing the theme of hope. Goodness knows we all need hope in this world. It's a very central theme. And he not only talks about hope and what it entails, but also how we can grow in hope through prayer and also through suffering. He really grasps a nettle there. That's not an easy topic. And he's not saying that we shouldn't try to reduce suffering in the world, but it's there and we'll never get rid of it. And we can grow in hope through suffering and prayer and action. So it's a theoretical encyclical about the theory of hope, but it's also practical about how we can grow and be schooled in hope.
Just reading it, what techniques did the Pope use to illustrate his point?
Well, he draws on the scriptures. He draws on St. Paul particularly. And then he moves to that wonderful African saint, Josephine Bakita. She was a slave from Darfur and beaten dreadfully. She had 144 scars on her body. And she's a wonderful example of hope. Was brought to Italy, released, became a nun, and she stands for the lost of this world, people who are dreadfully treated, but somehow the star of hope led her through all that to faith, to Christian faith and love of Jesus. So he draws on people like that. He draws on a wonderful Vietnamese Cardinal Van Thuan, who spent about 13 years in jail, and he draws on some remarkable people. Also, he loves St. Augustine, the Pope, and he doesn't make any... It doesn't hide that. He develops some lovely thoughts from St. Augustine. Not his very abstract thoughts, but very concrete stuff. And then he draws on a couple of great Jewish scholars from the Frankfurt School, Adorno and Horkheimer, who had wonderful things to say about perpetrators of evil in our world and how they hope for justice. So it's a remarkable tour de force, really. It's him. It's a seamless piece. And I just found it exhilarating, something to pray about, think about in Advent. And so I'm very glad it came out on the day that it's signed, the 30th of November, in time for all of us for Advent.
And what specific elements of the encyclical have you taken away with you?
Well, he's not against progress, and he's not against science. He has a nice little bow to the laws of nature and evolution, but he points out that they're not going to save us, that we're saved through love and hope, above all the love of Christ and a hope in Christ. So I appreciated that very much. And he also has a little plea for the right use of creation, of ecology, the ecological concerns. But the big thing is how we relate to Jesus Christ, who is our anchor of hope. And that's his main thrust. And it's a great Christmas present. I thought this is a pretty good document for me to pray about and think about as we work towards Christmas.
Now, we sometimes talk about the scholarly nature of the Pope's writings, and this encyclical is for everybody. Do you think it communicates well to absolutely everybody?
I think it's very accessible. He does use a couple of Greek phrases and a bit of German, but he translates them, so he has mercy on the general readers. And he's asking very good questions. Where do we find life? I mean, where do we find real life? And I mean, everybody hopes to find someone whose love will change their life, and they hope to get a job. And he's not against that. He said, but we find that doesn't fill our heart. And he could have quoted, I suppose, Augustine about our hearts are restless until they rest in thee, O Lord. I think that's the spirit of the encyclical. Okay, we need our human hopes, desires, drives, and progress, but let's all remember that it's Jesus who'll fill that place that nobody else can fill.
How do you look at it in comparison with Deus Caritas Est?
Oh, it's a better encyclical, I think, without any doubt. That encyclical, God is Love, there were two parts to it. The part he wrote on love, which was very good, but then there was a break because he moved more or less to social justice and the place of love in the public arena. And he was inheriting there lots of notes from John Paul II. So very few people found it a complete document. I mean, there was a break in the middle, but this is a seamless text. You know, what is Christian hope? What are the great voices in tradition, including people like Bernard of Clairvaux? What do they say about hope? And then how do we practice it? How do we learn it? And then he ends with a lovely prayer to the Blessed Virgin Mary. John Paul II used to do that, but I think this prayer to the Virgin Mary is at least as good as that.